Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:39, and that is Pacific Summer Time, and today is August 2nd. And a rather interesting day today in terms of the news flow, because Abe in Japan released his, or had his stimulus, his fiscal stimulus approved, but the market was pretty much unimpressed, underwhelmed by just how large it is. In other words, they were really hoping for something more than that. And also, of course, because the Bank of Japan is at this crossroads between pursuing this negative interest rate policy, which is inherently deflationary, and one really has to wonder why it has taken central banks so long to realize this, but that's largely beside the point, because eventually they will realize it, and then we're going to have to move further down the menu in terms of what is a potential extraordinary monetary policy measure. So we are heading in the direction of helicopter money, and it's quite likely that Japan is going to be the country that employs it or deploys that particular weapon first. Then Australia cut interest rates today, and that is at least in partially in response to the fact that the Aussie dollar has been quite firm, and in fact the Aussie dollar was up by 71 ticks in here today. But perhaps that was more a question of dollar weakness rather than any particular strength in the Aussie dollar. Sorry, US dollar weakness relative to the Aussie dollar. Then what we've seen in Europe is that just over the last few days there was the release of the stress tests by the ECB, and they passed all but one bank. And yet the banking sector looks sick, and I think that is a very kind term, because what you have is the only two listed banks in Germany, because Deutsche Post Bank was taken private, or taken off the market in December. So there are only two German banks that are listed on the stock market, and they are both posting new lows and have been trending lower for 2 years already, and it is looking increasingly likely that they will be nationalized. And that is just a further indication of just how much pressure negative interest rates put on the banking sector. They have seen their margins squeezed from all sides. Not only have they got this incredibly tight regulatory regime that they now have to abide by, but that they have to hold more assets in order to meet these stress tests. And then with negative interest rates, they have very few avenues where they can actually make money. So the banking sector is in dire straits. And if that wasn't problem enough, then they have this problem with the non-performing loans that are still sitting on their books, in addition to the fact that they are having to pay for liquidity from the ECB if they want to get any of that bad debt off their books. So this is a rather difficult environment for the Eurozone, and the ECB's only answer is to continue to buy bonds, but they're already hitting their own limits on how many bonds of a particular issue that they can buy. So there's going to have to be some sort of change to that particular part of the regime. And in addition to that, there hasn't been, and of course, this being Europe, the vast majority of politicians are on holiday. So we're not going to see any kind of cohesive effort towards fiscal stimulus in Europe until at least the middle of August, or more like September, and that is and that's conservatively speaking, because it could take quite a bit longer than that. Then in the UK, the pound was a bit firmer in here today, but it is against the background of an expected 25 basis point cut on Thursday, and we really do have to wait until we see what Mr. Carney is likely to say. He is likely to be perhaps the central banker that is going to have the most short-term effect on any one of the markets. And when we look at the FTSE 100, it had surged higher in the aftermath of Brexit, because so many of its constituents have got big international businesses. The FTSE 250, which is the mid-cap index and much more reflective of the UK economy, had not rallied as much and therefore has less of a short-term overbought condition to unwind. What is interesting is that just about every stock market was in negative territory in here today, and I think it is worth pointing out that Hong Kong is closed today because of a large storm that is currently hitting the city, but it should be open again tomorrow. When we look at Wall Street, then and of course we are in an election year, so the emotional content to the news flow is higher than might normally be the case. But what we have is a long bond, which is pulled back by almost 1 2/3 points in here today. And it continues to look like that yields have are continue to bounce from their respective lows, that the likelihood of the Fed raising rates in September, as a couple of the Fed governors have intimated over the last few days, in against a background where just about every other central bank, or at least major central bank, is easing policy in an effort to depress their currencies. Well, then it is, I think, a very relevant question to ask, is how likely is it the Fed can go against the global trend because of the effect that that would have on the dollar. And then when we look at the precious metals, the gold price was up $11 in here today. Platinum extended its advance, it was up 8. Silver is up 17.5. It's pushing back up towards its highs, and so is gold. The Gold Bugs Index, or GDX, depending on which one you prefer, has moving on to additional new highs, and palladium was pretty much unchanged. They're continuing to respond to the very real possibility that we are going to have a further debasement of fiat currency, and as one of the only asset classes that is not hitting new all-time highs, then they have recovery potential and plenty of it. But against that background, the oil price continues to pull back, and it was slightly off its low in here today, but WTI is trading below $40. Brent crude is at 42. That is substantially off the highs that we had seen just 2 months ago. And there is a short-term oversold condition, so we may get some steadying, but this is a downtrend overall. And that is tending to weigh on stock markets. So I think it is worth highlighting that, for example, the Dow Jones has fallen for 8 consecutive sessions, but it hasn't really given up much of the previous advance, that the relative strength of some recovering sectors, not least healthcare and biotech, is helping to counterbalance the negative impact that the fall in oil prices is having on the energy sector. And the result, of course, is that it is looking likely that we're going to get some sort of consolidation in the region of the upper side of the range that has just been completed. So we could see the Dow pulling back to the region of the moving average, the same with the S&P 500. The Nasdaq pushed new recovery highs. And when I say recovery highs, that's probably not the best way of characterizing it, but that broke up out of its range, or at least moved to a new closing high, and is only a couple of hundred points away from its all-time high set in 1999. That was a spike high, and the prices that have been sustained over the last year are still, they're holding these higher values much longer than they ever did in the 1990s. So it does look like we're going to get some consolidation, and not least because there are some very big questions being asked about the capacity of central banks to achieve their goals. And it isn't really a question of whether it's possible or not, but rather that we need cooperation on a fiscal and monetary front, and then the commitment to do what is necessary and to adopt an outright inflationary bias and to discard the negative interest rate policy. So when central banks eventually do come to that realization, then the likelihood of a fresh round and an even larger round of quantitative easing capable of reinvigorating the liquidity-fueled bull market that we've been presented with for the last 6 years is probably likely. But in the meantime, that we're probably due some consolidation, and not least because short-term overbought conditions are evident both on Wall Street and in Europe. But of course, Europe is in a very different situation than Wall Street. Wall Street had broken up out of these 18-month ranges, whereas the majority of indices in Europe had rallied back to test their medium-term progressions of lower rally highs and the region of their respective 200-day moving averages. So if they pull back in dynamic fashions from this area, then that would be a reassertion of medium-term downtrends. And so Europe is probably worth watching because the banking sector is in real trouble. And then it is a very relevant question, is if they're not willing to do anything, are they just going to nationalize the entire banking sector? Because they just don't seem to be doing anything else to correct the problems that are outstanding there. And that really does weigh on sentiment, and it weighs on those European stock markets, regardless of the fact that they're that Europe really is chock full of internationally based companies, that the underperformance of the banking sector could have a negative impact on those. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.